నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 9 చాప్టర్ 18 టెక్స్ట్ 32. రాజపుత్ర్యా అర్థితా అపేత్య ధర్మం చ అవేక్ష్య ధర్మవేత్ స్మరన్ శుక్రవచః కాలే దిష్టం ఏవ అభ్యపద్యత. రాజపుత్ర్యార్థితోపత్యే ధర్మం చావేక్ష్య ధర్మవేత్ స్మరాన్ శుక్రవచః కాలే దిష్టం ఏవాభ్యపద్యత. రాజపుత్ర్యార్థితోపత్యే ధర్మం చావేక్ష్య ధర్మవేత్ స్మరన్ శుక్రవచః కాలే దిష్టం ఏవాభ్యపద్యత. రాజపుత్ర్యార్థితోపత్యే ధర్మం చావేక్ష్య ధర్మవేత్ స్మరన్ శుక్రవచః కాలే దిష్టం ఏవాభ్యపద్యత. Matajis. రాజపుత్ర్యా బై శర్మిష్ఠా, హూ వాజ్ ద డాటర్ ఆఫ్ అ కింగ్. అర్థిత, బీయింగ్ రిక్వెస్టెడ్. అపత్యే, ఫార్ అ సన్. ధర్మం, రిలీజియస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్. చ, యాజ్ వెల్ యాజ్. అవేక్ష్య, considering. Dharmavet, aware of all religious principles. Smaran, remembering. Shukravachaha, the warning of Shukracharya. Kale, at the time. Dishtam, circumstantially. Eva, indeed. Abhyapadyata, accepted. To fulfill the desire of Sharmishtha. We'll read the translation for text 30, 31 and 32. When Shukracharya gave Devayani in marriage to Yayati, he had Sharmishtha go with her. But he warned the king, "My dear king, never allow this girl Sharmishtha to lie you in your bed." O King Parikshit, upon seeing Devayani with a nice son, Sharmishtha once approached King Yayati at the appropriate time for conception. In a secluded place, she requested the king, the husband of her friend Devayani, to enable her to have a son also. When Princess Sharmishtha begged King Yayati for a son, the king was certainly aware of the principles of religion, and therefore he agreed to fulfill her desire. Although he remembered the warning of Shukracharya, he thought of this union as the desire of the Supreme, and thus he had sex with Sharmishtha. Purport. King Yayati was completely aware of the duty of a Kshatriya. When a Kshatriya is approached by a woman, he cannot deny her. This is a religious principle. Consequently, when Dharmaraj Yudhishthir saw Arjuna unhappy after Arjuna returned from Dwaraka, he asked whether Arjuna had refused a woman who had begged for a son. Although Maharaj Yayati remembered Shukracharya's warning, he could not refuse Sharmishtha. He thought it wise to give her a son, and thus he had sexual intercourse with her after her menstrual period. This kind of lust is not against religious principles. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.11, Dharma viriddho bhuteshu kamosmi. Sex life, not contrary to the principle of religion, is sanctioned by Krishna. Because Sharmishtha, the daughter of a king, had begged Yayati for a son, their combination was not lust, but an act of religion. Om ajnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamahiyam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guro shri yuta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunathanvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita shri vishakhanvitamscha he krishna karuna sindho dinabandho jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute taptakanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari vrishabhano sute devi pranamami hari priye vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabho nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shrivas adi gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.
Hare Krishna. We beg at the lotus feet of all the assembled Vaishnavas to give us the your blessings so we can speak on this topic in Srimad Bhagavatam. Here, there is a religious principle mentioned when a kshatriya approached by a woman cannot deny her request and has to fulfill her desire. There is a similar another rule in the Vedic Shastra. When a person or when a lady cannot have a child with her husband, then she can approach the brother of the husband. And through the brother, she can have a child. But in Kali Yuga, both these rules are cancelled. So those devotees who consider themselves as kshatriyas, please don't quote Srila Prabhupada over here as a religious principle. Most is mentioned over here is the act of a samskara. Srila Prabhupada mentions when it is the right time to perform the Garbhadhana samskar. It's not against religious principle. It's not lust. It's actually, Krishna says, that kind of kamosmi, that kind of sexual intercourse is actually me, which is based on Vedic scriptures. So what is Garbhadhana? There are several samskaras. Samskaras means purificatory process by which we purify our body, our mind, intelligence, desires. So Garbhadhana is considered as the most important samskara of all. It's not very well known. It's not given so much of an importance, but is actually it is the most important samskara. Why is it the most important samskara? Is because we are inviting a specific kind of a living entity into our family. Srila Prabhupada on several occasions has spoken how to perform Garbhadhana. And the most importantly, he mentions that the husband and wife must chant minimum 50 rounds before performing the Garbhadhana. In different places, he's also talking about a proper muhurta for performing Garbhadhana. There are different days, different constellations in the sky, different a way of ritual needs to be performed. With all these things combined, the consciousness of the husband and the wife becomes purified. If you chant 50 rounds, at the end of the day, you don't feel like having a sexual intercourse. It becomes a sense of a duty that you are supposed to perform. It teaches you the regulations or the duties of a grihastha. It just doesn't happen by an accident. It's a well-planned samskara. And when it is well-planned, when the consciousness is right, you invite a jiva with a very good consciousness. We, in Gurukul, we have to deal with so many children. And it's very, very clear by the behavior of the child that if he went through a Garbhadhana samskara or he didn't. When a child goes through the proper Garbhadhana samskar, he actually comes out very, very peaceful, fearless, kind, gentle, sensitive, devoted unto the lotus feet of the Lord, listens to the parents. These are the qualities, some of the qualities of a boy or a girl who has gone through the Garbhadhana samskar. Those who haven't, you can see it. Wild, aggressive, There is a new word called hyperactive. Difficult to control. Doesn't listen to the parents. All these kind of activities happen. And then, many times we have seen, when the parents cannot deal with these kind of children, when they get into their teenage, they send them to some boarding school because they cannot take care of them at home. And in that way, there is nobody, that boarding school is not a gurukul where the teacher is responsible. Of course they are responsible, but not as a father. In a child's life, three people remain authority throughout his life. That's his first is mother, second is father, the third is the teacher. It's a lifelong relationship. Over the few years, over 15 years I have lived in the school, I have seen many of our boys who have graduated from the school or who are even dropouts from the school. They have a very good relationship with the teachers. They come, they share their experience with the teachers. Why do they do that? The most common sentence among them all is that the best time of their life they had was when they were in the school. They are able to share everything that they got to the community outside. And they are very well accepted by the community. Why? They are gentle. They are hardworking people. They are somewhat sensitive. They understand the philosophy. They have several capacities. But when you don't get that kind of love and affection, they turn into uncivilized men who don't know what to do in life. I have seen adults in their late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s, don't know what to do. Completely unsatisfied in their life. No goals. And then they have to search out for the self-help gurus. They go start asking for shelter. If they are lucky, they bump into one of our ISKCON centers and then from there they move ahead right. But if not, they suffer. Why do they suffer so much? Because parents, when they were conceiving this child, didn't care. And because they were born out of no care, they don't care for the parents when the parents are old. And if you see all over the world nowadays, there are many, many old age homes. And they are filled. Somebody was telling me, you have to register yourself few years ahead to get an admission into some of the reputed old age homes. That is a sad situation of the community. Why all this thing happens? Of course, we don't take our Krishna consciousness very seriously. But it also starts where there is no Garbhadhana samskar. One friend of mine, he was sharing with me and he said, they are brother and sister. They asked the mother, Ma, who do you like more, me or my sister? And she said, I don't know. He said, why? He says, one of you was an accident and the second one of you was a mistake. What is this child supposed to feel? How is he supposed to feel like? If you know, like feels like jumping off the cliff. The person who is the most lovable person says something like this. One of you were a mistake and other was you an accident. Where is the loving affection? It doesn't exist. So that's why it's very, very important to perform Garbhadhana Samskar. Many times as devotees we say, we are chanting Hare Krishna, we are following four regulative principles, we don't need to follow all these rules and regulations. An interesting fact I was reading in Nectar of Devotion, where it talks about the 64 qualities of Krishna. And one of those qualities is that he likes to follow the religious principles mentioned in the Vedas. Recently, our teacher, Preeti Vardhan Prabhu, he took up sannyas on the day of Gaur Purnima. We were performing his sannyasa ceremony, and in the ceremony, the aspect is called Achyuta Gotra Dharana, accepting yourself as a descendant of Lord Achyuta. Srila Prabhupada has given the same gotra to all the devotees in ISKCON. Why? Because we are his children. He comes under the Achyuta Gotra from the aspect of sannyas, and because we are his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, we come under the Achyuta Gotra. Such a qualified gotra. Such an elevated situation. So if Krishna, the Achyuta Gotra descending from Krishna, we become a family of the Lord. I had a very interesting situation. Everything was flourishing nicely in my life. And one point I just stood in front of Radha Madhava and I said, I was praying in my mind. He says, "My dear Lord, why do you take so much care of all of us? What have we done to you? We don't behave properly with each other. Our 16 rounds are not 100% right. We do not appreciate our existence in the holy dham as much as we should. We take it everything for granted. In fact, some of us even challenge the authority of Srila Prabhupada as the founder acharya of ISKCON. Why do you love us so much? Why do you take care of us so much?" I was just thinking, meditating this in my mind. And when Brahmachari comes next to me and taps on my shoulder and says, "Pray for me as well while you're praying." I said, "Prabhu, you are such a senior devotee. You are serving the Lord Radha Madhava directly. Why would the Lord listen to me while you are standing in front?" And I got the answer of my question. He said, "Because you are a family member of Sri Sri Radha Madhava. Everybody living in Sridham Mayapur is a family member of Sri Sri Radha Madhava." I got the answer of my question, why Radha Madhava takes care of us so much, even though we don't behave properly. So if we are coming in his family, if Krishna likes to follow all the regulations of the Vedic principles, we must follow the regulations of the Vedic scriptures. Especially when Srila Prabhupada tells us that we must. There are so many regulations, Srila Prabhupada said, don't worry about it. But there are many, he said, we should follow. When we follow these kind of regulations, we see in our life there is going great change, big changes to the positive side. Brings us closer to Krishna. Brings us closer to what is pure devotional service. Brings us closer to what is Krishna consciousness. We don't have to worry too much. Especially in Sridhar Mayapur, where recently when we all, some of us, we went for Navdeep Mandal Parikrama. And so many times, so many sannyasis are repeating. You will sleep in the holy dham is considered like paying dandavat or performing samadhi, being in samadhi. You walk in the holy dham is considered like thousands of Ashwamedha sacrifice. I once asked Bhakti Dipurna Maharaj, in the Vedic time, many times you hear in the Shastra, you perform 100 Ashwamedha sacrifice, you become Indra. And Indra gets scared, he steals your horse, he creates a disturbance. Here, walking every step in Sridhar Mayapur is like thousands of Ashwamedha sacrifice. Why Indra doesn't bother with that? He says, because the devotees are not interested in Krishna, in getting devotional the post of Indra. And he knows that we are not sincere enough to get it there anyway. We are going back to Godhead. It's a completely different route. That's why he doesn't bother. A few years ago when we were reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, here, it was describing Prithu Maharaj's pastime. And when Prithu Maharaj is going back to Godhead, all the demigods are there showering flowers at him and performing arati, and the Gandharvas are singing, Apsaras are dancing. Why? Because one jiva is going back to Godhead from this universe. So important. And our life is filled with so many difficulties. One of the funny thing is, they ask me to give class at this time of the year because there are not that many senior devotees in Sridhar Mayapur to give class. So I'm like a standby person. And there is nobody, push him in. But I like it, you know, it's a good time. So why they are not here? It's so hot. Or they are out preaching. Difficulties. We have difficulties to live in Mayapur. The power cuts off every day. There may be flood coming over. It rains and storms. So many difficulties. Natural difficulties. Then we fight with each other. That's on top of that. Still, if we perform Krishna consciousness, it becomes simple. We perform these varieties of samskaras. It makes our life easier. It makes Krishna consciousness easier. That's why it's important to perform these kind of religious activities and these kinds of samskaras. If you go down to South India, you see these temples, huge. You know, they have these gopurams, their gates, so big. And they are thousands of years old. They never had any, something to protect with lightnings and everything. You know, they're, how do you call it? The lightning, the connector. Yes, some iron rod to protect. They don't have those kind of things. Still, none of those big, big gates got ever struck by the lightning, by the thunderbolts. Why? It's a very simple reason behind that. Not many people know, but very simple reason. If you see on top of those gopurams, many times you will see a man and a woman uniting with each other. There are two reasons for that, to have the right at the gopuram. Those people who are only interested in doing that, they will not enter the temple and disturb the Lord. They will just stay outside watching those kind of things. And a second and very important reason, Indra respects that act of religious principle when a man and women are uniting together under proper circumstance. That's why his thunderbolts will never hit those temples. Doesn't matter how tall they are. That is the science behind those figures on top of these gopurams. That's why it's important to perform the Garbhadhana samskar. Very, very important samskar. And Srila Prabhupada has made it very, very easy. I read a book written by some Ayurvedic doctor or some... He writes so much how, the different things you got to follow just for the performance of Garbhadhana. Srila Prabhupada made it so simple. Just chant 50 rounds. Our Acharya, Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, has written a book called Satkriya Sara Deepika, in which he mentions how a Gaudiya Vaishnava should be following these samskaras. We have a manual on it. How to perform weddings, how to perform Garbhadhana, how to perform rites for having a male child, how to have safe delivery, how to give birth, what to do for continuous health of the child. What rituals to be performed when the child, you know, grows up and he needs something more than just the mother's milk. What to do when the child needs to go out for the first time. What these samskaras will give benefits to the child. All these things is described by Gopala Bhatta Goswami. And when we study the Shada Goswami Ashtakam, over there, it mentions, Nana Shastra Vicharanaikadminu Saddharma Samsthapakau. After studying so many shastras, they have established the proper religious system, the Saddharma. Why? Loka nam hitakarinau tribhuvane manyau sharaniyakaro. For the benefit of the people of all the three worlds. Not just us, for the people of all the three worlds. They have worked so hard and given us these system. Not for us to throw it out the window saying, ah, this is Kali Yuga, it doesn't work anymore. Or we just chant Hare Krishna and it's all right. It's for us to follow. And this book was almost lost. It was re-established by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So that gives us strength why we need to follow it. And Srila Prabhupada, in one of his purports, he mentions it was found by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It was translated and published by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada, in one of the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam, he mentions this book, Satkriya Sara Deepika, written by Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So that gives more strength. We have three direct acharyas in our parampara. Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, follow this book for the performance of doing all these samskaras. It's very, very important. And Krishna says, dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi. The sexual life in accordance with the religious duty, that's me. So that's Krishna himself. That's why this act brings us closer to Krishna. That's why it's important. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions in relation? Yes, Prabhu. I think there is a mic. Prabhu, can somebody please take this mic?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your wonderful class. I want to speak about the Shraddha. Because you say the Vedic ceremony, all Vedic ceremony, you have some knowledge. I want to know if the Shraddha can perform for all family or only individual person. And another question is, why the person go to Gaya and say this is the real place for Shraddha ceremony? And another devotee says also can do in Mayapur. Please, you can explain about these two questions, please.
The Shraddha ceremony is required for the continuous happiness of the forefathers in the heavenly planets. So, a child or a person is responsible for three generations: his father, his grandfather, and his great-grandfather. So, the Shraddha ceremony should be performed by the son. That's why he's called Putra. Put means a hole leading to hell, and Tra means one who delivers him. So that's why it's so important in the Vedic culture to have a son, because he will perform the Shraddha ceremony and he will pull him, perform the Shraddhas and allow the forefathers to have a happy life in the heavenly planets. So that's why it should be done by the son. And there are rules. If the son is not there, then the daughter's son can do. And so there are rules like that, who is eligible to do this ceremony. Now, different places in the Bharatavarsha have different importance. And Gaya, there is the Vishnupada over there. The lotus footprint of Lord Vishnu, you can see in Gaya. So, If you perform the Shraddha ceremony in Gaya, it's considered to give its best results. Shridham Mayapur and Sri Vrindavan Dham, they are the source of the origin of all the holy places in the whole of universe. So whatever is done in Shridham Mayapur and in Sri Vrindavan Dham, of course they are non-different, it gives multiple times more benefit. So, yes, sure, you can do in Gaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to do the tarpana for his father in Gaya. You know, so it has its values. It has its importance. Mahaprabhu showed by his own example doing that. But even if you do in Shridham Mayapur, or in fact in any holy river, it's considered done. But if you want more benefit, then you go to Gaya. Like that. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you. Wonderful class. I'm just curious. I had another question in mind, but in relationship to this one, you're encouraging us, as our acharyas have, to follow the samskaras to the best of our ability. Did Srila Prabhupada encourage us to follow the Shraddha ceremony for the deceased? Is our desire to keep our relatives, our forefathers in the heavenly planets?
No.
Do you mind stating that principle? Because I've heard Janani Rasu speak on this.
The Shraddhas are not performed by Vaishnavas as, you know, within our movement, because our goal is not to go to heavenly planets. We don't perform the Pinda Samskar and, you know, all those rituals that are performed in Shraddha. From what I've heard from my spiritual master, when my grandmother left her body, somehow on that day he came to the town. He heard that my grandmother left her body. And in the evening he came to our house, and he was holding his tridanda, and he, you know, stamped it on the floor, and he said, "I have come to take your mother back home, back to Godhead." He said, "No need to perform any shraddhas, anything like that. Take a picture, because she was initiated by him, and her whole life she was stitching clothes for the deities, or making ornaments for the deities, every day making garlands for the deities." And he said, "Take a picture of her, put it in the temple, let the devotees glorify her, and offer a great feast." So that's what we did. And that has been the system in our movement. At the end of the line, when all the Vaishnavas are sitting, there is a plate kept for that particular Vaishnava. And then that plate can be offered to the cows. So that is what our Shraddha is. We don't have to do all the other Karmakanda rituals, because we are not interested in our forefathers living in the heavenly planets. And Krishna himself says that when a person becomes a devotee, 21 generations are taken care of. 10 before him, 10 after him, and he himself. So instead of worrying about the Shraddha, we should worry about taking ourselves back home, back to Godhead. And that way everybody will be delivered. Yes, Prabhu.
It's so nice to have you sharing with us your knowledge on the Dharma Shastras. I totally accept what you say about the Kshatriya shouldn't try to... I mean, who's a Kshatriya anyway? That might be the premise of why you say it's not applicable in Kali Yuga, but is there direct scriptural reference, or is it based on the fact that we're all born Shudras and defined as Kshatriyas just doesn't?
From what I have seen in our movement, actually Manu Maharaj, he mentions, he divides the population. He says, in a community of 1,000 people, there is one Brahmana, there are 9 Kshatriyas, there are 90 Vaishyas, and there are 900 Shudras. That's just a general how he has divided. what I have seen in our movement, devotees, not everybody, but there are many who want the power of a kshatriya, want the money of a vaishya, want to be called as a brahmana, but they are actually all shudras. So that's why I made that point, that even though we consider, you know, I have seen many devotees, I'm kshatriya. Why? Because I have a muscular body? No. Even the soldiers in the army would have muscular body, but they were not kshatriyas, they were shudras. Just because you have a muscular body and you are performing martial arts and, you know, you have your, you know, that does not make you a kshatriya. Many times devotees come up to Gurukul because we have martial art class over there. Oh, you are training kshatriyas. No, kshatriya does not mean swords and shields and, you know, crown. Kshatriya means the person is able to give protection. He's able to give, he's able to do administration. That is a kshatriya. As a side point, he has to fight to maintain peace in his country. So that's why, you know, I made that point. Even if we consider ourselves as a kshatriya, these kind of acts are not allowed in Kali Yuga. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Yes, Mataji.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. I feel very fortunate that I haven't returned to Australia yet, so I have the opportunity to listen to your wonderful class. So thank you so much. Whenever I hear the Gurukul graduates speak, it's always very wonderful. Mm. I just wanted to mention, or ask a question actually. I remember when I edited that book for the Gurukul.
Yes.
And the translator was making the point that it's not just about the Gahabadhana Samskara, which is, as you say, critical for the, you know, a spiritually minded soul to come into the family. But he also mentions about the importance of nurture.
Right.
I mean, the word nurture may be my own word, but he cited an example where one distressed parent said to him, "Oh, but we perform Gahabadhana Samskara, but our child is, you know, a bit wild, is not really taking to the process so nicely." And he was pointing out the importance of continued guidance.
Yes.
And setting the proper example for our children. You know,
yes.
And I see many times, particularly in the West, where, you know, the children aren't brought to the temple, even though they may live either very, very close by or actually on the farm, on the community. They don't bring them to the temple as a regular process. I've seen some children just have no idea how to behave in the temple. So I just wonder if you could perhaps speak a little bit about that, the importance of, it's not that the parents can just wash their hands of the continued training, if you could perhaps speak a little bit on that.
Yeah. Thank you, Mataji. It's a very good point. That it's just not the Garbhadhana Samskara which is important, but to take care of the child as he grows up is also very important. It's, in fact, more important. Certainly, as many times it's seen, nowadays it's very common, that both the parents are working parents. And the child grows up with a babysitter or some family member and does not get the affection from the parents. We regularly mention in the school that we use, I generally like to use the example of a sponge. You have a sponge and you pour water. The sponge can actually accept a lot of water. It can absorb. And when you squeeze it, it gives out water again. Children are same. They are just like sponge. As much affection, as much love, as much care you give it to them, they can absorb it. You see small children, they are so active, you get tired taking care of them. Because they are always like, "Mama, I need this, Mama, I need this, oh, Papa is here, Mama, let's go see this, see that." Constantly it's happening. And you have to give that much amount of energy back into them. And the more you give it to them, the more they can receive. And at night falls, they lie down on bed and switch off. And then you are like, ooh. Because I was taking, you know, a few years ago, I was responsible for taking care of all the small boys. That was my situation. A whole day morning, 5:30 in the morning till 5:30 in the evening. Like, yeah, and at 5:30, like, finished. So the thing is that they can receive all these things. And when the time comes, when they mature, when it's time for them to give out that love and affection, they are able to do so. I was recently watching some video in which it's mentioning that the children who do not get the affection of a father, the father is busy working somewhere outside, who doesn't get the affection of father, the statistics it said, they come out to be fearful, not fully confident in their life. Of course, they're getting the affection of the mother. And many times, you know, mother, they do the job of both the parents. And the child comes out okay. But many times, what's observed is children need the affection of both the parents. It's very, very important. And at the same time, they require, the guidance of other elders. That's why there is a saying, it takes a village to raise a child. It's an old saying, it doesn't exist anymore. Because if I tell something to somebody else's child, I'm in trouble. How dare you say anything to my son or to my daughter? Who are you to say that? But previously, I remember going to a regular school. We would be afraid to tell the mother, I got slapped by the teacher. Why did she slap you? Because I didn't do my homework. Very good. Good. Now you do your homework. Next time you will not get slapped. Of course, you know, you should not be doing that. But everybody cared. Even though the teachers, you know, sometimes used to get so angry, throw us out of the class, make us, you know, kneel on the ground for 45 minutes, but we had affection for them. Why? Because we always received that affection from them. Their harshness was overpowered multiple times by the affection that we received from our parents, from the teachers, from the elders, from the community. They were always there. When we would go out playing, all the mothers are there. They are having their own, you know, little discussion, gossip happening in the corner. And the kids are just, we would just run around in the whole ground and play. Anytime any child drops on the floor, you know, gets some hurt, the first lady to see that runs over to and sees, hey, what happened? Sometimes the mother is not there. He's taken care of. Sometimes we would go to somebody's house and it's time for lunch. Nobody says, okay, it's time for lunch, go to your house. No, we would eat in their house. They would eat in our house. You know, we had our apartment in the ground floor. The kids would be playing. They would come out, you know, when they're thirsty. Mataji, can we get some water? And my mother, she always had different drinks ready, you know, some different flavored drinks, and she would serve them out. And they knew, you come to this house, they would get something. And if it is possible, most of the times they would get something special, some drinks, some soda, some ice cream, so kids were happy. So that's why, yes, it's very important. And that's why even in the same book, it mentions, you do garbhadhana, the next one, samskara, is, you know, having a male child. You don't want a male child, you don't mind, it's okay. Then you perform a simanta. Why? In the seventh month, you perform a simanta. Because there are many, many rakshasas, evil spirits, who would like to eat the babies in the womb. To protect them, you perform the simanta samskar. Then, once that is done, then the next samskar is for safe delivery. When the child is born, you know, you feed him powdered rice, barley, and ghee. It'll make the child lick. Why? So his intelligence grows. Then you take him out for the very first time. There is a ceremony done. Why? So he sees different colors, different, you know, he smells, realizes different touches. So there is a ceremony for it. Once that is done, he grows up a little bit. You know, starts showing the sign, you know, some teeth, small teeth start coming out. You make a ceremony, first grain feeding ceremony. That is done. He grows, you know, name-giving ceremony. He grows up a little bit more. You teach him how to write. Another ceremony. He grows even more bigger. He's ready to go to school at the age of 5. Another ceremony. He graduates from the school. Another ceremony. Finally, he gets married. Huge ceremony. What is the necessity of these ceremonies? You get the community together. You get the family together. Make it a special moment for the child. Like that. You give love and affection. These are there. One of the reasons these things are there, so we don't forget to do our own duties. Hey, it's the 7th month and the lady is pregnant. Protect her from these evil spirits. Hey, the child is born. Make sure he becomes an intelligent and strong. So that's why all these things, and parents have to spend a lot of time with their kids. Is that okay, Mataji? Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thanks for the class, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
How many samskara is there? What are the names, Prabhu? Second question, which samskara is important for Vaishnavas?
Okay, how many samskaras there? There are altogether 16. It starts with, if you start from the birth, that would be the Garbhadhana samskar, when the child is invited into, actually the first samskara is considered as the Vivaha, the marriage. The second is Garbhadhana, the impregnation on inviting a qualified jiva. Then the third one is Pumsavana, which is having a male child. The fourth one is Simmanta, which is protecting the wife. It's called the parting of the hair, but it's meant for the protection of the child in the womb. Then there is one more, I forgot the name, which is meant for safe delivery. Then, sorry? Yeah, Shoshayanti Homa. Then, thank you, Prabhu. Then there is Jati Karma, when the child is born. After that is Nishkramana, taking him out for the first time. Then there is Namakarana, giving him the name. Chudakarana, shaving his hair. There is Vidyarambha, which is starting teaching him at home. It happens at the age of like 3-4 when he starts learning to write the letters and alphabets. There's Karana Bheda, piercing of the ear. Then there is Upanayanam, when he starts studying the Veda. There is Samavartana, which is graduation from his education. And of course, then there is Vivaha. And the last one is the Antyeshti, when the person leaves his body.
Vaishnavas.
Gopal Bhatta Goswami gives all of these. So they are all important for us. Okay? Hare Krishna Mataji. So it's 9 o'clock. We'd like to end here. Shri Mala Grantaraj Bhagavatam Ki Shri La Prabhupada Ki Samaveta Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Nitai Gaura Premanande.